Welcome back to another episode of Football at the Bar with your host, T.A. and G-Money, bringing you all the highlights, talking mess, and all the plays you shouldn't have missed.
What's up, everybody? This is Football at the Bar, and we're your host. I'm T.A.
Uncle Chuck is here.
And we are here to bring you some NFL action in this offseason. But before we get started, I need you to do me a quick favor. I need you to download, subscribe, and follow. Keep us in mind. Stay with us throughout this offseason because we're going to be bringing you all the action. You know, our man G Money, he's off the farm. G Money sat over here and is taking advantage of a great opportunity, and so that gives us a great opportunity right now to sit over and introduce our new host, Uncle Chuckus.
I'm glad to be here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm trying to bring you big energy. Let's have some fun.
So we're going to for sure have some fun, ladies and gentlemen. You know what I'm super excited about? Chuckus, who I call him just straight up Chuck, is what I'm excited about is we both drink cognac.
Yes, sir.
We don't have to sit over and mix in that other stuff, that whiskey and bourbon and the we don't want to do any of that stuff. Boom. What we drinking on today is Claude Chantelier. So super excited, drinking on that cognac.
Yes,
ready
sir.
To sit over and talk this all season because we got a whole lot of stuff happening. So on this very first week, you gonna sit over and walk in here with a whole lot of action. So I hope you got a whole lot.
Yes, sir.
So you know, as we get into this, we got to sit over and jump into the draft. This is first and foremost, this past week we just got finished with the draft. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We got to see all that unbelievable talent that's coming into league. And some of my most exciting parts. This is when real top-notch fantasy players, people that play fantasy football during the season, get to sit over here and find who they're going to sit over here and catch slipping when nobody else knows. So with that being said, you know, obviously we saw something exciting this past combine. Mm-hmm. And in that combine, we saw somebody break a record. So what do you think about that? My man from Texas, Worthy, said over and ran that 4.21.
4.21.
Did you get a chance to see it?
4.21. I seen it live and in person. And I trust and believe when he got out them blocks and he started moving, it looked like
it looked different.
It definitely looked different from a whole lot of people. And I'm pretty sure that's catapulted him from being a second, third round draft pick. He's going to be in that first round at this point because everybody loves speed.
Everybody loves speed. And he's starting to get mocked, obviously, to the Kansas City Chiefs because Tyreek has been gone.
True.
But the difference is Tyreek is thick. He might be little. He might be small in stature, mm-hmm. but he's thick. So you're talking about he's damn near 200 pounds. True. 200 pounds. And this cat's 165 soaking wet. You know what I'm saying? And so the concern is that time was absolutely special. I mean, like I said, I saw it live and I was over here cheering mm-hmm. because we had a chance to see history made right in front of us live on television. But the reality is also the history of players that are hovering around that 165 players that are under 175 pounds traditionally don't have very good careers in the NFL. I mean, you're talking about humongous men 250 to 350 pounds and cracking somebody that's 165. I mean, you know, you can remember when he was 165 back in the day. I couldn't imagine a cat 300 pounds sitting over here cracking me. So traditionally don't have a great career. Like his predecessor, John Ross, who held the he didn't have a great career, but he also couldn't catch. This dude can catch. So I hope he does. I think he has an opportunity to. I think if he gets in the right scheme, he can.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the end of the day, is we have to see exactly where he lands. And does he rise to the occasion or does he be like a John Ross and will forever be known as the individual that holds the
combine record? Yeah. Well, for me, you know, as far as NFL is concerned, speed is always going to be respected, regardless of, you know, whether or not you can catch or not. You're still going to go in that top five first round. It's just going to happen.
Well, you know, it's funny. The Raiders is a team that always gets the speed. Yeah. You know, if the old – what's the old owner name?
Big Al Davis.
If Al Davis would have been alive, guess what would have been your first round?
Automatic. Yeah, absolutely. And which is the reason why, as a Raider fan, I respect speed because that's what Big Al did. You know, you come in here and you run a good 40 time, pretty much we're going to snatch you up. So for me, I think he has a chance. But like you said, he has to catch the ball, and he's only 165 pounds. That could be a problem going across the middle, going upfield, getting caught. It might be a problem.
He's lighting the booty.
He's definitely lighting the ass.
And for everybody in the audience, as you see, we stay true. We stay true to the brand. We brought another Raider individual in here just so we wouldn't run off our Raider fans, because obviously G Money was a huge Raider fan. So we brought another Raider fan.
Gotta
have individual that's going to represent for y'all on a weekly basis. And I'm going to still talk shit. Another big theme of this combine out there in Indianapolis was the very top players, the people that we knew were going to go first, second, third, and fourth in the draft, not participating in the draft, not participating in the with the press, not participating in any of the medical, not participating in any of the drills. What is your thought process with that?
I think the biggest thing for me is judge me what I know on the field. I think what happens a lot of times with the players is we don't want to pay you, or at the same point in time, we want to nitpick you for everything we can so we don't have to pay you. Or we're trying to find out what's wrong. What could possibly go wrong? It's a lot of guys. You had, Jamarcus Russell. He went number one, got paid a lot of money. And at the same point in time, it was a lot of red flags out there. As far as him being picked number one, people didn't catch it. So it makes the process, as far as the people that come after you, you're going to get scrutinized on an even higher level. So when you got these guys coming out, whether or not it's the Jaden Daniels, whoever's, you got the Caleb Williams, we're going to scrutinize you on a whole lot of level. We're going to dig in your business. We're going to go to your past. We're going to look at your mama, your daddy, your sisters. We trying to find everything we can to weed out everything possible as far as this thing going wrong, as far as drafting you. So I can respect the fact that, hey, judge me on my football acumen, judge me on my football IQ. But as far as, my mom, my dad, or, all these other things, or whether or not I know how to put a square peg in this circle, like, that's not what I signed up for, and that's not what I do. Judge me off of what I do at the end of the day.
Now I feel you in terms of judge you, on what you do. And the tape is one thing. And I do think there is an actual value in the combine, because everybody's not designated in those top five positions. There are many people that are sitting over here going into that combine and projected to be picked in the third, fourth, or fifth round, even later, sixth or seventh round, and can do something for their draft stock. So there is obviously benefit and value in the combine. It probably not is for the very top people. And I just think that that's just people taking power that are in a position to take the power. You follow what I'm saying?
I got you.
So like Caleb sitting over and saying, I'm not going to do any medical. Well, he's choosing not to do any medical because he's not going to go to 32 teams. The reality is he's the number one pick. He's going to be picked by one team. So what is the purpose on sharing your medical information with all 32 teams? There's something called a HIPAA law in this deal. You follow what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That precludes the sharing of medical information. So to have that wherewithal and to have the power. So I do think that it makes sense for a certain group of individuals that are at the very, very, very top end. But there are a whole lot of individuals that are going to obviously do what they got to do, follow every single rule just to put themselves in a position to be at a greater level. But there's nothing like players, and many of those players look like just you and I, that put themselves in a position to sit over here and have some semblance of control over their career.
Correct.
And that's what's so powerful and what's so important about what they're doing is they're taking hold of the reins of their career, and they're going to determine what they're going to do, rather others determine what they're going to do when they're in this position.
Let me pose this to you. Have you ever heard of an NBA test to scrutinize your intelligence as a player? I don't recall hearing about tests like that in the NBA.
No.
I don't recall hearing about that in the MLB.
Yeah, they do have it actually.
You might have something, but it is not as publicized. You're not gonna go from being a top pick in a draft to, say, dropping a round or two mm-hmm. because, quote unquote, you didn't excel in this test.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
But, quote unquote, in the sport that is predominantly black, this is what we use.
Definitely.
For me, yeah, so as far as the player saying, hey, man, I'm not doing this because it's not applicable to what my job is. It's really not. So therefore, just judge me on what it is that I got to do out on this field, and then let's talk.
Well, part of that is done through the combine process, but sometimes you can get so high that the only place to go is down.
Exactly.
And so to put yourself in a position to where you're already at the very heights of where you can be at, if going to do this, all they can do is use against you that pass or two that just didn't feel that good. Because guess what? I'm going to use that against a couple of people that we're about to talk about.
Right.
That pass or two just didn't look good. And so it gives them ability to scrutinize. Okay, you're not quite this taller, you don't weigh quite this much, so there's an issue. So I understand that people that are already designated in spots to not do it, there's no reason to. And I understand not talking to the media because they're going to misconstrue, they're going to ask. You know, it's funny now, the teams used to just ask crazy questions, but now we have the media now
right.
asking crazy questions. So why even put yourself in that position to possibly be asked something that could be detrimental
right.
to your overall scope and how people perceive you? So, but that's all control, because before, catch was just sitting over here trying to get on.
Mm-hmm.
Now we understand that because of our play, because of our acumen, because of how we get down, that we don't have to sit over here and do the dog and pony show. We don't have to sit over here and acquiesce
right.
to everybody else. We can execute in from a position that of greatness, of top notch. You understand what I'm saying?
I get you.
And separate the haves from the ones that are hoping to have. And that's basically what they're doing. Everybody can't do this, but the very top notch of each individual combine should and can do this.
You should.
And guess what? People aren't happy about that.
Nah.
People are sideways, and they're not feeling good about that at all. But you know what we did see in this combine, and obviously which is the big story every single year, because the position that they play is so important, is the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And although the very top quarterbacks, you have the top three quarterbacks that didn't participate, you have Caleb Williams, you have Jalen Daniels, and you have Drake May. Those three individuals didn't participate. But the next, what would we say, four players, you know, we got Penix,
mm-hmm.
we got Bo Nix, we mm-hmm. got J.J. McCarthy,
mm-hmm.
and then we, last but not least, the final of the top four, the real four that are actually going to possibly be players in the NFL. We got my man Spencer, Rattler. Spencer from Spencer. South Carolina. So, you know, you had those four that actually threw. Did you have an opportunity to see them throw a little bit?
Yeah, I checked them out. For me, Penix probably did the best. Him and Nix. Penix definitely has a live arm. I think he proved that throughout the college season, though, that he had a live arm.
Making it to the championship.
Yeah, that says something. You know, playing at Washington and making it to the championship says a lot about, you know, where you are as a player, your leadership.
Mm-hmm.
He's definitely an older player. I think he's about 24, 23 right now. He's been in college for four years.
Oh, Penix, yeah. No, yeah. He's a 6-year senior.
He's a 6-year senior.
Due to the COVID situation. Uh-huh.
And then he also tore his knee up a couple of times.
He did.
And I could say, as somebody who's torn my ACL, I applaud him to be able to come back and perform at the level he has after doing it twice.
Yep.
That says a lot about as far as how you work. And, you know, so for me, at least I can check off that box. I know you're a hard worker. I know that, you know, you're definitely committed to football on some level. So for me, I like what I saw out of him. I was impressed by McCarthy. I never really seen him throw the ball at Michigan.
I don't see how you can be impressed after watching what I saw
at the combine.
At the combine,
I was impressed because
I saw too many errant, like, standard throws that were just like out of control. They were so errant that I didn't even realize it was him. And not until other individuals online or on shows brought up those errant throws that I realized it was him. That was the throws were so bad, I didn't correlate the bad throw with JJ McCarthy.
JJ?
Oh my.
What?
It was half and half. Now, there are excuses being made because they want to coordinate him as a great quarterback, you know, and we're going to have a chance to talk about that in a quick second. But I just had to sit over and say something. J.J. McCarthy, even though media is sitting over here and saying he's still got some place to go, he actually did not perform at a very high level.
In your eyes.
I would say, and anybody who...
What?
Now, you must have saw the good passes.
I'm going to say, it's not like it's just
J.J. McCarthy. You sit over here, they go through the whole gauntlet of, you know, they break up the quarterbacks into smaller groups. And then the group that J.J. McCarthy's in, he doesn't get every pass. So he threw some good passes right there and take a picture. But he threw some ducks, too.
Like I said, I was impressed. I'm not going to say impressed. That might be a little
more. Yeah, that was a little strong.
As far as my expectation and what I saw, I mean, I was like, okay, you can play. You can play on the next level where I didn't even know he could play.
So
I'm going to say this. Listen,
can he be in the top 10?
Top 10 as far as what?
Quarterbacks.
That are taken this year?
No. In the NFL.
Oh, absolutely not. As far as based off of what I've seen.
Exactly.
I'm not asking for that though right now. That's a lot to ask.
No, ever.
You drafted Purdy. Were you expecting him to be in the top 10?
Ever. And that's what they're trying to sit over here and say. He's just Purdy.
Hey.
Hey. You can chase that Purdy all you want. Hey, let me tell you something.
No.
I can promise you this. That's not a part of the game.
Nah.
This dude, hey. J.J. McCarthy, you can write down and take a picture. I want y'all to understand. I'm sitting over here giving you the real. Write down and take a picture.
No.
J.J. McCarthy is going to be a stone cold.
Mm.
Write down and take a picture. Hey, let me go even further. Drake May is going to be a stone cold.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. I'm with you on that one.
I'm going to go for the trifecta.
Uh-oh.
Just because I feel that.
Okay. Type of.
Bo Nix is going to be a stone cold.
Ooh. Nobody. So we only got who you believe in at this point?
I believe in Penix because he showed it.
You believe in him?
He showed it, and he got to the championship game.
Okay.
I don't understand how you get to the championship game and be like, is this kid really real?
Okay.
Now McCarthy threw 18 passes in the championship game. And everybody's like, oh, it's because of the coach. Because why, man, you tell me if Harbaugh had Mahomes and he threw 18 passes, you would be a stone cold mystery throwing 18 passes with Mahomes.
I got you.
The reality is Mahomes got to at least throw 25 times because he's Mahomes. He's one of the best who ever touched a football.
It's hard to mention.
So do not sit over here and tell me J.J. McCarthy's the business when the coach didn't want him touching the ball after I've seen the ducks he threw at the combine.
I got you. So this is what I'm going to say. I think there is a quality to being a winner. A lot of people aren't winners. They found a way to lose.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, mm-hmm. It happens. Great quarterbacks find a way to lose. He comes from a winning program. He's coming from a winning pedigree. So you have to at least give that something. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to be the world killer.
So was he the catalyst?
To this team?
No, I think, to their wins.
I think if you don't have a good quarterback or a good sound man, whether or not he's a good leader.
Was he the catalyst to their success?
You're putting me in a tough place right now.
It's all right to say no, because guess what? He wasn't. And the reality
So what would you say? Who would be
Harbaugh?
That's my point. That's tough. But your coach should always be the catalyst
for
why
you win.
So if
your coach sits over and says, you're not going to be the catalyst to our win, what does that tell us? We have to sit over here, and if we respect the coach,
mm-hmm.
we have to sit over here, read the coach's actions, because actions always speak louder than words.
Okay.
We have to read the coach's actions and sit over and say, the coach said, we're not going to put the ball in his hands. We're going to put the ball in the running back hands, which is the least respected position in the NFL. We're going to put the ball in that individual's hands before we put the ball in this man's hands.
So you feel like the running back was a catalyst. Is that what you're telling me?
No, I'm saying Harbaugh's scheme, which chose to focus in on the running back,
mm-hmm.
and there's a reason why.
But you realize that's usually where it starts. It has to start from the coach.
But it finished. But it finished there.
He's the top.
I feel you there. But it finished there. So it never got to him.
It wasn't supposed to.
You tell me if Mahomes is there.
It started with who?
If Mahomes was there, would you could sit over here and say that it would be all right? It would be a justification. We could sit over here and explain away that the offense wasn't revolved around Mahomes. It was revolved around a running back as being proper protocol.
I got you. No, I understand that premise. So what I'm saying is there's a hierarchy. So it's always going to start with the head man. And then it's going to trickle down. I don't think it skipped over McCarthy to Corum is who you're referring to. I don't think it skipped over him because that running back is not going in the first round at all.
That's how the NFL has determined the pecking order.
If you look, dude is 5'7", 190 pounds.
What the coach said is who is going to win this game for us. You can't tell me that if you ship out J.J. McCarthy for Mahomes, that Harbaugh would have sat over here and made the point that that Corum was going to win the game for us and not Mahomes. And if he does do that, then guess what? The Chargers are in trouble.
So what I'm going to tell you right now is at the end of the day, I look at it like this. If there was a gap between, say, when Pete Carroll chose not to give the ball to Marshawn Lynch on the goal line.
Well, absolutely. We know that's offensive. I lost money on that. I'm sideways.
But we know who the best player was.
I would encourage you to warn me when you do shit like that because
it tickles a nerve.
Yes.
So the whole point of me bringing that up is to say that if the gap is between your quarterback and his running back is that big and we know who did all the work to get us down there, we knew everything that happened, then we're relying on this dude. And if he doesn't get the ball, then the nation knows what the problem was. As far as Corum and McCarthy, we know how the team was built. And we know how the team was built to win. Play defense, run the ball, period. But he doesn't make mistakes. I appreciate quarterbacks that don't do dumb shit with the ball. Excuse my French. But I do appreciate that. I think that that's a skill. I think that's what Purdy gets off of. He doesn't make terrible decisions.
Yeah.
Which a lot of great quarterbacks do. He doesn't do anything spectacular, but he just doesn't make terrible decisions.
And you know what that is? It's the difference between good and great.
It is. He's never going to be great. And he's never going to be great because of that. He's never going to be great. Ever.
Sorry. They're never going to win a Super Bowl.
Maybe not. You might squeak one in. Yep.
No, we're going to give him credit, but we can't say he's a great quarterback. So my point is that you can have somebody flash. Purdy could flash, but we can't bet on it. Are you going to bet on it?
I actually did bet on it, and I lost. But I bet on the pieces around him, not Purdy.
Now, what's that tell you? Don't ever fucking bet against the greatest motherfucker who ever touched a football.
I learned my
lesson. Ever in your life.
I learned my lesson.
Never, ever.
I agree.
Okay. Especially because you played twice a year and you haven't had an opportunity to see in the last 12 interactions that this is the greatest motherfucker who ever touched a football.
He might be. His trajectory is.
You can write that down and take a picture. So here's what we're going to also talk about is that as we get to this point right here, and I do believe Penix did a phenomenal job. Jaden Daniels didn't perform. Caleb didn't perform. Drake May didn't perform. Bo Nix, I never knew he was even on the screen. Bo Nix, I'm sure I saw him.
It's because his name.
And guess what? And here's what twist is. His name should be correlated or attached to some of the worst first string quarterback play we've ever seen when he played for Auburn. So, you know, that name is unique.
The name.
Because I've heard it before.
Yeah. No, and it's dad or grandfather or somebody.
And then when you watch this cat play, he's a stone cold mystery.
You don't like him, huh?
But he's a stone cold. And I tell his mama, hey, your son is a stone cold.
Nothing good to say about him.
I don't have nothing bad to say about him other than he's a stone cold. And then he's a stone cold because he's horrible. He's a stone cold because he'll never be great.
No.
Okay. And here's where twist is. Okay, pick him up in the sixth round, Church.
Six?
Fifth.
He don't deserve no money.
Why? Penix whooped on him three times. Mm-hmm. Two times in the regular season and in the playoffs. And then you're going to sit over here and put Bo Nix before him? Like, you can't. That can happen out there. I can promise you in here.
Man,
at the bar. You're not going to get none of those bars that we're going to pick Bo. And it's so funny. Penix, he did 6 years because of COVID and he got the injury. He did 6 years. That's tough. Bo Nix, he did 6 years, got the COVID, and had to switch from when he was Boo Boo in Auburn and came over to Oregon, and finally he got good, and that's all good.
Okay.
So it's all good that he's a 6 year COVID senior. But Penix is a 6 year COVID senior and got to the Magic championship. We don't know about him.
Sound like you're going somewhere.
I can promise you this. We saw this once before. We saw, Deshaun Watson play Mitchell Trubisky in the same league,
same conference,
and beat him over the course of a 2 year time, four times viciously. And Deshaun Watson went to the championship game.
He won the national championship. Let's get it right.
Won the national championship. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to go too presumptive. Mm-hmm. I thought he did.
He won.
Won a national championship in some kind of way. They thought the dude that he didn't whip
was better than
him. Was better than him. So we understand, and we all know at the end of the day is that is probably the most fugazi thought process.
Yeah.
So I can promise you this is sometimes certain individuals overvalue themselves. And unfortunately, cut their nose off despite their face for some type of justification on why one individual should be presumptively better than another. Mm-hmm. You know, as we transition to free agency, we have Kirk Cousins.
Kurt.
As for whatever reason, as depicted as this is an individual everybody should care about and everybody should want. Even though the team that he's just coming from, they could easily re-sign him again, and it would have been the most easiest prospect for this team. They choose not to.
Hesitate.
And the reason why is because he's torn his Achilles tendon, right? Mm-hmm. And at 34 years old, and you tear your Achilles tendon, traditionally that's not a sign that this is a player that's going to come back cracking.
Right, right.
But for whatever reason, the powers that be believe he's the Jesus of Nazareth,
right,
coming to save some franchise, right, which is beyond me. That thought process. I can only imagine if roles were reversed and you had a different player that was in his mid thirties. Like, God forbid, imagine if my man from Seattle.
Oh, Gino
had Torres Achilles at 32 years old, and what would be the word of him being the most coveted free agent,
right,
coming off of a torn Achilles?
It's not happening.
And what would that look like? But it's so funny for him, and the narrative is trying to be forced upon the Atlanta Falcons. Why do you think they want him to go to the Atlanta Falcons?
You know, the crazy thing about it is Kurt has always been paid. Kurt has been paid. Kurt's been paid since his days in Washington.
Yep. He got franchised a couple times.
That's paid. Right. That means you're getting the average salary of the top five quarterbacks.
Correct. At right, your, right. You're getting paid, but you're getting there's paid. No longevity to it.
No, but kill the longevity because every year he got signed again. So if you look at the numbers, he was making just as much as everybody else or more.
It should have been guaranteed now for a total of 8 years.
Every year.
Of the top five.
A top five. He was always a top five paid quarterback.
Now, let me ask you this. When was the last time Kirk Cousins was a top five quarterback?
Did he make the Pro Bowl every year?
So, he didn't make a Pro Bowl because of his popularity and he wasn't the most popular quarterback. He didn't make All Pro because that would be unfair because it's only the best, you know, two or three or
top
two
100?
Or so.
Yeah, top two. What the players
top
vote
two.
On? What about what the players vote on? Did he make the top 100?
Yeah, he made top 100, I believe.
Maybe a time. Maybe.
But has there ever been a time that he as a quarterback has led his team past the first round of the playoffs?
I can't recall.
You know, the first time that team went past, or the most recent time that team went past the first round of the playoffs into the divisional rounds is when they were using their backup quarterback, Case Keenum, who's been a perennial backup quarterback since.
True.
So that quarterback took them to the divisional round, but Kirk Cousins hasn't.
Right. Right.
And now we're to believe that because that team refuses to give him a guaranteed contract, that he should be the most coveted.
To get it from somebody else.
Man, let me tell you something. I'm a wilder and I have a lot to sip, but I don't ever get that drunk.
Hey.
I don't ever get that type of woozy to where I believe that kind of makes sense to me. Am I talking crazy or you tell me?
I feel you. If it don't make dollars, it don't make sense. And it don't make dollars to me to do something like that at the end of the day. 34 and you just tore your Achilles. It's not like you wanted an all-time grace to begin with. It's not like you've been one of the most dependable quarterbacks to begin with. So why am I going to go out my way to go and bring you into my franchise? Now, maybe if I had a young quarterback and I want you to mentor him maybe for a year, maybe we talk about something like that. But as far as we're going to bring you in to be the man to lead us to somewhere, it's not happening. Not for me. Not for me. But then again, I ain't got money to throw away like that. So, you know, maybe Arthur does do it. Arthur Blank out there, you know, you got big money. Maybe you do it. But for me, it's not happening. It has to make sense. I got other people I got to pay.
So when we look about other people that have to play, the one thing that we do know was that team, Arthur Blank, the Atlanta Falcons, needs a quarterback. The coach actually came out and said in an interview that if this team had better quarterback play last year, I wouldn't be standing in this place right now. Meaning the previous coach wouldn't have gotten fired. They would have performed far better.
Right.
And he would have had that opportunity to become a coach of that team if they had better quarterback play. So obviously they need better quarterback play. So, you know, the reality is that the word around town initially was Justin Fields was going to be traded to that team. And then all of a sudden we saw people, you know, upset that Justin Fields would have an opportunity to play with three talented individuals and have a coach that looked like him that would sit over and give him the benefit of the doubt. And all of a sudden we can't have Justin Fields go there. And they were trying to have somebody else go there. But, you know, who do you think Justin Fields is going to have an opportunity to go to?
So, I got a little biased, of course. You know, hey, I would love to see that. You know,
that would be a very good look for Antonio.
Yeah. But I would love to see him play for Raheem, you know, Morris as well.
I think it would be a great situation.
Because you would understand, you would have a more of a connection to the player in itself to understand, you know, his background, where he's come from, where he's trying to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, therefore, you can have goals. So you can set goals together as far as where you're trying to get to. You understand each other's struggle.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I think those are, you know, for me, the best situations for him because you're going to play for somebody that understands where you come from. I think Antonio has already proved from a player standpoint, he's the most popular coach in the biz right now.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody loves him.
If he wins this year, he has a credible year, another second in the conference. They're not going to be KC. I don't care what you say. They're not going to be KC. So if they're second in the deal,
that's a win.
And get to the playoffs,
that's a win.
I think that all of a sudden becomes a very strong destination to rock with because you have Las Vegas,
you got Vegas.
The coach that people didn't just ride for, but produced for.
Right.
And that's the whole twist. And yeah, I would see them if they don't get Jaden Daniels, if they were smart, take a shot at Justin Fields and
weather
there and sit over and get him in an environment that's supportive, an environment of belief, a belief system that this dude can be the man and sit over here and get it cracking. So, yeah, I like that as a alternative opportunity.
I tell you this. I just came from Atlanta not too long ago, and when I was getting out the airport, you come in and you ride a train. Like, I'm seeing Raheem Morris's picture, like, all over the place. So, They clearly have
you got to remember that he coached there before.
Right.
He was the interim coach there, and they actually did well, just missed the playoff. And I believe Atlanta recognizes that they missed a golden opportunity to win because you had a very special individual. Individuals forget that he was the youngest coach ever in the NFL at the time when he got the interim.
Right.
At Tampa.
Right. Him and McVay.
But yeah. No. This
but he was before McVay. Yeah, but I'm just
they
saying.
They got the interim. And then they didn't give him the job. And then he went to D.C. and worked with McVay. That's why McVay brought him with the Rams and knew what who he was.
Knew.
The whole narrative around this coach was that the Rams were saying, oh, he's a good coach. People should consider him as a head coach. People were saying that, oh, they don't want him anymore. He's horrible. So they're saying, they're trying to get rid of him. Instead of actually stating, this is a good possibility for a head coach.
Mm-hmm.
People should consider them. The narrative then became, they only said that because they wanted to get rid of me. He's a horrible coach. Imagine having to go up against that.
That's tough.
Oh, stuff.
That's tough. That's like fighting an avalanche or something.
It is like fighting an avalanche.
You can't fight it.
So were there any standouts for you for the combine?
So, I think of course you see the 4-2-1 is always going to stand out.
Yeah. Well, write it down. Take a picture.
That's automatic. For me as well, I think you can make a statement by not doing a whole lot and saying, you know what, come see me on my pro day. That's where.
But see, the pro day is contrived in your benefit.
It's supposed to be.
Well, if you want the situation to be contrived for you. If I was sitting over here as a former athlete playing in that shit, I'm going to crush you in your shit. You can come see me in my shit. I'm going to go ball out and have some fun, but I'm going to eat you up in your shit. And so the twist is that do we have individuals that have enough heart? Now, Worthy, who won the deal, he didn't have to run again. He got a 4.25. He didn't have to run again.
He did.
But
you already had something in his head.
And what makes me have a little bit more for him is that you sat over here and chose to do it again to win it all when you could have lost it all. You could have sat over here and scored a 4.32 and they said, how you were, that was a fluke. This is really where you're at.
I got you. But look at this, though. I don't think a lot of people even remember this, but I believe it was the year that Ross broke the 40, the combine record. The deal was if you broke the combine record wearing my shoes, you got a $1 million bonus.
Mm.
So it's incentives behind, hey, I'm going to break the bonus. And people didn't even really consider that.
Mm-mm.
But it happened. Mm-hmm. Like, hey, wear my shoes, do it.
Mm-hmm. Right.
For the world
if you're
to
wearing
see,
the shoes.
You wear my
that's
shoes
a part of the game.
And you do it. Hey,
I don't know if he had that in mind.
I don't know. I can't even say that. And I don't know
did.
If it was just from a competitive standpoint.
Came out.
But at the end of the day, you know, that's things to consider, especially in today's age where advertising is at an all-time high, you know.
It's all about NIL.
Everything is about NIL. And it's not even NIL. It's just, can you advertise my brand on the biggest stage, whatever it may be? And the NIL is a part of that at this point. So for me, I think that's big. But I think the fact that I'm going to force you to come watch me on a setting that I'm going to, you know, say what the factors are. So if you want to see me throw, you're going to come see me throw where I want you to come see me throw under the standards that I set, period. I think that's big. That sounds good,
but we saw.
It never fails.
No, we saw a man that took the knee, Colin Kaepernick, try to attempt that, and that didn't work.
Different circumstances completely. He had no leverage. Absolutely none.
Hold on.
Caleb has every leverage drop.
The leverage should be, there's not a lot of great quarterbacks, and I was a very good quarterback leaving this NFL because of taking.
And can you repeat that statement for me one more time? Just say what you just said.
Very good.
before that, you said, I was. Key word, I was. Not what you just did for
we
me.
Don't, we listen, don't listen, know listen. That. We don't
no,
know
no, no,
that.
No, 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 no. The NFL is a, what did you, what have you done for me lately league? If you didn't do it recently, they don't care. That's the reason why running backs in the rush for 1,500 this year.
No, but that's what's
bullshit. I didn't say it was fair. Right. I just said that's how we function.
Forget about fair. It's stone cold bullshit when you don't even give a motherfucker an opportunity.
But what did you do for me lately?
So he didn't do anything lately because y'all choose not to employ me. And the owners made that choice. It weren't the coaches saying, you know what? I don't want motherfucking
Kaepernick.
I don't want Cap. Cap don't know how to play. It was the owner saying, fuck this motherfucker.
So if he won the Super Bowl, you think that was going to stay in?
No. If he won the Super Bowl, he wouldn't have done it. He would have been corrupted already. He just said, win the Super Bowl, so he didn't get corrupted. And that's where it's a cold game.
You think he would have been corrupted if he won the
Man,
Super Bowl?
Come on. Buddy.
Why is that?
Yeah, money because tax? $500 million is a lot of money.
It is.
Hey, $500 million.
What you talking about? It's gonna corrupt you.
I'm actually steadfast. I don't give a fuck about the money. Cause you just sit over here and be like,
Hey man, I got kids and then a wife. You know, hey, $500 million.
Yes, right.
My wife might be slapping me right now. Like,
and then guess what? And then guess what? If I didn't get it, you didn't get it. Guess what? We didn't do it. But I could have got it. But I chose not to. You'd have been hearing me in the backyard. I said, we're talking about these motherfuckers.
I got you.
As we sit over and move past this, I got to sit over and talk about these quarterbacks because, you know, Caleb didn't perform. Drake May didn't perform. Jalen Daniels. But, you know, we saw J.J. McCarthy. And we talked a little bit about this. I can't understand a quarterback who's never done the deal. Or he won a national championship but didn't have to do the deal himself. He wasn't the man. And his coach says he's going to be number one. And everybody was like, oh, hard ball. He's somebody. He said he's going to be number one. And now all of a sudden this dude who, Harbaugh, if you actually thought this dude was something special, you would have work with him. You would have rocked with him. You would have sit over here and did business with him as you won these championships. And you chose not to. Hmm. You chose not to do business with this cat. And for me, actions always speak louder than words. So to sit over here and watch a quarterback who ain't never had more than 18 throws in the game, sit over and say he's going to be a top quarterback. And this is a quarterback that's going to change my, you know, hey. The game is the stone cold.
So where you feeling McCarthy should go then?
I mean,
based off of what he's done,
McCarthy should be going someplace that already has an established quarterback, like the LA Chargers.
Mm.
Make him back up Herbert.
Mm-mm.
Like at the best case scenario, being
you never play.
Harbaugh is a smart coach. If he had Herbert at Michigan. The one thing I can promise you is they wouldn't run the ball 38 times in the game.
He was special.
And I can promise you this. They're not going to run the ball 30 times in the NFL because you have Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is when Herbert got to put up or shut up. I can't wait to sit over and see this. Hey, I've been a tremendous Herbert fan. You got to sit over and ball or fall.
Mm.
But J.J. McCarthy, and they're talking about Atlanta's like, we want J.J. McCarthy. And let me tell you something, but you can write it down and take a picture right now. J.J. McCarthy's a stone cold mystery. Drake May, stone cold mystery.
Absolutely.
You can write this down and take a picture.
I agree.
You have Caleb. He ain't that good.
You don't trust him?
No.
You ain't making him number one?
No, he's number one.
He's number one?
But he ain't.
You give him 100,
do you think
100 million?
The Cowboys, do you think the Chicago Bears have the opportunity to win a Super Bowl in the next 5 years?
I think they're a dumpster. Dumpster fire. As a franchise.
So if that's the case, which option makes more sense? Get Caleb or keep Jalen or keep Justin Fields and trade down.
Again, I told you I'm biased. So I would gladly take Justin Fields. Period.
So for me, the thought process is please I would agree.
Caleb. I would please take Caleb.
Right. And if you think Caleb's going to be the difference between this team making the playoffs, let alone going to a Super Bowl, versus you keeping Justin, trading out of it multiple times, and getting first round picks and players, if you think that but these cats don't even have an eye. These cats don't even have a clue on how to work the game. Poles, you're a fucking clown. All I would have gotten rid of Eberflus, because at the end of the day, is if you think an individual named Eberflus
just in the name period.
If you tell me a Eberflus in history that sit over and did something special, anything kind of like an Eberflus,
that ain't working.
So my point is you got an Eberflus that's supposed to lead you to. Eberflus can't even lead you to the playoffs. I mean, when you're talking about somebody called Eberflus, I mean, you know, it's tough to sit over and say Eberflus was the solution. And here's what the deal is that when you have this coach for the Chicago Bears that was hired on the premises, on the context of a special assistant brought in, Bill Polian, who we know has a history of not being favorable to an African-American or a black quarterback. One, that whole thought process, Bill Polian is well known to not wanting a black quarterback. You have a black quarterback. You bring him on as a special assistant to hire the coach. And his grandiose, great idea was to hire the defensive coordinator from the team that he just got fired from, that was his buddy, on a team that we needed an offensive coach for this quarterback.
Yeah, to grow him.
So when you bring all this together, obviously Justin Fields hasn't had an opportunity to really be with a coaching acumen that would be in his best interest. They brought in a coach that was predicated from a coach that didn't believe in him.
From the get-go.
Right. And so you expect him to perform at the highest levels when you have a coach that doesn't believe in you, and that just absolutely doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, it would be phenomenal if you had this quarterback, they make some type of move in free agency to get him there. But if they don't, well, you know, now we're at the draft, and then you're shit out of luck. And that's what's so stupid to me. And somebody who's left out in the cold is going to sit over here and give up a first-round draft pick in the following year's draft for Justin Fields. And the twist is that that can happen, and then Justin Fields can end up in Minnesota. He can end up with a franchise, on a franchise that doesn't have his long-term success or them correlating him to be a conduit to their long-term success. So, you know, unfortunately, and then but at the same time, you have media outlets that are trying to force a situation like Kirk Cousins going to the Atlanta Falcons solely because it's a dome, solely because he'll have weapons in the top 10. Because if you don't do that and you put Justin Fields there, Justin Fields is going to be in the top 5. But powers that be don't want Justin Fields in the top 5. But they do want Kirk Cousins in his limited form to be in the top 10. And as many individuals that look like him being in the top 10.
I got you.
You know, we work in a very tough predicament, in a very tough world of actually what's most advantageous for the game of football from a play standpoint versus what's most advantageous for the game to make outside forces feel comfortable.
I got you. I think you made some good points, and I'm going to make a good point as I show America that, you know, we switching out my drink because I ain't no punk. And, you know, if somebody told me that my drink ain't, you know, I'm babysitting, I'm playing.
Hey, he said he drink cognac.
Yeah, man, we back in action.
Only
we back in action. We back in action. You ready, you know? He said, you know, what is that? You know, you go down the hill. And you get them all.
Yes.
Go. I'm gonna take my time. I'm making it. I'm enjoying myself. But nah, well, getting back to your point.
That's a great inclination.
Getting to your point, man. As far as that for me, with that situation, yeah, man. I feel like at the end of the day, just take your time. They're gonna make a good decision. It happens. It does, man. It's not an exact science. It's not. And you want it to go a certain way, it never does. Right. And that's the whole point of how you perpetuate the same system doing the same exact thing. It sucks. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you hope that, you know, Fields will get a fair chance to do what he deserves a chance. I look at it, compare it to Lamar. Lamar had a coach who's like, you know what, I'm going to design the offense around you. This is what you do best.
But say, I disagree with that. I don't think the offense was designed around him.
You don't think so?
I think the offense was designed around an individual.
For Lamar?
That didn't have the
you're talking about Lamar Jackson? We're talking about
Lamar Jackson that didn't have the ability to sit over here and understand how great he was as a quarterback.
Nah.
And so on all you could see, just like Bill Polian, is that he can run fast.
No, my thing is this, and you can say it, if you don't have the pieces around him to highlight what he can also do, you can't do it. So if you got this bum at receiver, you can't tell Lamar to throw him the ball 8 times, 9 times in a game. I'm not, because if you do, you are going to be a loser as a coach. So Harbaugh said, you know what, maybe we throw it to him 3 times and we throw it to this tight end 6. We throw it to the running back 4 times. That makes Lamar, you know, look good enough. The threat of him running is still there, and we win the game playing behind our defense. You can't highlight this bum receiver out here, because if you do, you're going to lose.
Well, I believe they're doing him a disservice.
By not highlighting a bum receiver?
No, by having a bum receiver there. And that's an
organization. But they've tried.
That's an organization.
They've tried.
No, that's an organization.
They've drafted a receiver in the first round almost every year in the draft.
If you do the actions that you're supposed to do and don't execute, then what happens?
You lose.
But what happens after that?
Get fired.
We have to hold people accountable. We can't only be the accountable when we have one bad year. We have one bad year, we're held accountable, and we got to go.
So who are you saying who should be held accountable? Ozzie's done a great job.
They've done
great job. Baltimore has never been a garbage.
You asked me a question. Who should be held accountable? And I believe that the team has held the people accountable at a worst case scenario that have to be held accountable. The defensive coordinator got fired. They had a new one in. The offensive coordinator got fired. He's now with San Diego. We have had a new individual that still won't change the game. So, do I believe that they sat over here and made the systematic changes? Yes. But my whole point is that should the head coach be held accountable? If they don't win a Super Bowl within the next 2 to 3 years, yes.
You should be out of there?
You gotta go.
Jeez. All right. I guess we shall see. I look forward to giving you my opinion.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's Football at the Bar, ATB Media Network. And if you like, subscribe, download, and then you take care of us. Here we go. We'll see you next week. Bring you all the chef.
Uncle Chuck.
The Unk.
Yes,
Big sir. Chuck in the house. Hey, glad to have y'all. Hope you enjoyed us. I hope you sit over here in the grass.
Get your cone.
See you soon. See you next week.
Yeah.